Reconnaissance Media activated.
Welcome everyone to the Edge Free Show, and Happy New Year to you. We are your hosts, Edge,
and this is Free.
We have an awesome show for y'all today. We're going to be doing things a little differently than you're used to hearing. We don't have a particular deep dive research topic, but what we have is a great discussion on many things. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. It's a new year, same me.
New year, same me. Feeling great, feeling good. No, that's good, man. I love to hear that. How was your work week been?
It's been busy.
Yeah.
It's been just different.
I knew that things were going to start picking up for you. You know, I know you hit a little bit of a lull.
It's more like slowing down, honestly.
Is it really?
It's a different tempo. It's just everything is slowing down in terms of just, I guess, our economy and everything like that. Because we've got a lot of inflation in terms of the prices and then interest rates and stuff like that. So people are kind of like hesitant, like very hesitant to make a decision.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know, just offhand, what the cost of like wood is?
I have no idea. Lumber? I don't know off the top of my head. I know that it skyrocketed and then it went back down, but not, I say back down, that's a poor choice of words. It went down.
Right.
But it's still higher than it used to be. So it's kind of like with the gas prices or something like that. It'd be like, oh yeah, the gas went back down, but it's still 309 or something like that. But yeah, it went down from like 399.
Jeez.
So it's kind of like that with everything. Prices of houses shot up like crazy, and then they went down. They didn't go back down. They're lower than they were 6 months ago, but it's still exponentially higher than 2020.
So those of you who are unaware, Mr. Free works in the housing industry. He works for a builder.
Yeah, new construction.
Yeah, new construction here in our lovely state of Texas. And so that's why I was asking him about the lumber, because I know that that's something that's kind of gone up and down. My spouse, she works in government construction. And so I've heard her talk about the cost of some materials. So I never heard any numbers from either one of you. So I was just kind of curious if that was something you know off the top of your head. But larger than that, once again, welcome to the Edge Free Show. We are a research and discussion show. We cover things in the news, society, culture. I guess we dabble with certain political themes, but we haven't deep dived into that. We're tiptoeing out of the gate. You know, I'm giving you a little inside baseball, but today we're going to be heavy on the discussion end of things. We will continue the second part of our dead internet theory in another episode. There's just too much going on, a lot of things swimming around in our brains. And to be perfectly honest with you, this is something that Free and I wanted to do from the beginning of the show, but we wanted to earn a little bit of goodwill from y'all before we jump into things that are a bit more polarizing and divisive. If you like this, comment. You can do it in iTunes, or excuse me, I'm showing my age there, Apple Podcasts.
Wow.
Yeah. Apple Podcasts, Instagram, Facebook. You can find us at Common Sense Media on Instagram and Common Sense Media on Twitter. So before we jump in, dude, you have any gratitude or anything you want to spread?
I'd say, of course, my wife, and definitely for my boy Reed Deming. He helped me make my song and everything like that, because I'm not a DAW kind of person. I'm not a producer. I just have the stuff in my head, and I'm just a writer. But shout out to Reed. He does amazing work and he makes great music himself.
Good. And I'll keep mine pretty simple. I'm going to thank all the listeners who are still on the journey with us into 2023. So things got a little light toward the end of the year, holidays, whatever, but Free and I kind of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, feeling good, want to hop into the fire here and get cracking. So
yeah,
without further ado, man, talk to me about this video you sent me, or larger topic about the Steven Crowder thing.
Yeah, it's this whole Steven Crowder debacle that everybody's talking about right now. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who Steven Crowder is, he's literally like the largest conservative commentator.
He's like also one of the biggest memes.
Yeah, exactly. He's the Change My Mind meme guy.
Yeah.
He did those kinds of series and everything like that. Talking with people, but he's got a daily show and all that stuff. And he used to work for The Blaze, and then I guess his contract ended and he started shopping around. And the video that I sent you was from Jeremy from The Quartering. And that was before, like, the next day, because even more stuff came out, because Crowder was calling out a part of this, not exactly a contract, but it's like kind of a first shot of like, hey, take a look at this, see what you think, and then show it to your lawyers, you know, and then come back with something, you know, mm-hmm. and then you start like the negotiation process for a real contract. And he was so upset by it, and he called it out, but he didn't call out the company that gave the that sent the letter, you know.
Yeah.
And made the offer. So Jeremy was just pretty much just kind of not sure exactly. I wasn't sure either, honestly. I thought it was Fox News. But it turned out to be Daily Wire.
Yeah.
And the next day, Daily Wire, Jeremy Boring from, he's the co-CEO of the Daily Wire, came out with like an almost an hour long video explaining like, hey, it was us that made the offer. And he went through this offer letter pretty much. And it kind of changed the landscape, because with the way that Crowder had presented it, it was very, very much like there are nefarious actors at play in the conservative sphere. And he didn't say who it was, which I would say that was all right. You know, like it wasn't too much stepping on people's toes, I would say. But he was just calling out like, hey, these are the kinds of contracts that people are having to sign or whatever. Some of it's true, some of it's not, in terms of like, yes, they get to negotiate their contract. That's just kind of the initial. But I watched Tim Pool's podcast the other day, and Candace Owens was on it, and she's with the Daily Wire, and mm-hmm. she was like super, super pissed off. But it was the way that she explained it. She was just like, oh yeah. Right. When he showed the contract, I was just like, I know that's the Daily Wire. And everybody else is kind of like, well, nobody else is going to understand that.
You work there.
Yeah, of course. Like you have a contract with them. So you know what these contracts from them look like.
Right.
And I was just like, no, honestly, I didn't know it was Daily Wire. She made it seem like it was obvious to everybody that it was. And I was just like, no, honestly, I thought it was Fox News. But So Daily Wire said, yes, it was us. And after that, Crowder, he had launched a website or whatever, said like stopbigcon.com, trying to get people to sign up to that and everything, kind of trying to fight back against the man, you know, even though we don't know who the man is right this time. So it turns out that he made that domain like on 12/12/2022.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, oh, wait a second. So were you planning on this? And he also recorded Jeremy Boring on a conversation as well and played it on the second video, like this rebuttal kind of video. So it's just a weird, weird debacle. Daily Wire's little agreement or offer letter or whatever has some things in there that are not so great. Crowder made some moves that probably wasn't so great. they're both kind of weird. It seems like an old school, like, hip hop contract. You know what I'm saying?
So from what I gather, because I don't follow, I'm aware of both. I've watched videos. I think I've watched probably 3 to 5 videos ever from Daily Wire, and mainly Ben Shapiro. I'm not a full disclosure. I'm not the biggest fan of his. Smart guy, just not really my style. Steven Crowder, I don't think I've ever watched a video of him. It's not a thing against him. I just never, no one has ever sent me anything of his. So that's not somebody I'm checking for. But I tend to, when it comes to more political media, I don't really go a lot with YouTube. It's more podcast. So, and I try to find more of the, just give me the information or straight up stuff. Yeah. I don't really lean one way or another on that. That's neither here nor there. So for me, this was just like, to me, my thoughts, this is just normal stuff. People disagree on contracts. I think Crowder is kind of, I don't want to, sensationalizing sounds like a, probably like a bigger word than it is, but I don't know. I just felt weird that he would throw it out there, not say who it is. And because in the back of my mind, it sounds like he's trying to have some level of respect. And I think it's because they probably most likely have listeners and viewers in the same camp. Yes. Hence the reason why Daily Wire wanted to sign him in the first place.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they already got Candace Owens. I know she's a big conservative. Jordan Peterson gets thrown into the conservative. I know all your feelings on that, you know, from the crossover event. We don't have to rehash that. Ben Shapiro, obviously. Ben Shapiro's sister, is she on Daily Wire too?
No, I don't believe so.
And then somebody who I thought was Ben Shapiro in female form or in drag, and no offense to transgender people, just Brett Cooper. I'd never heard of her. I'll explain why I heard of her yesterday.
Yeah, it looks like.
But to me, it looks like if Ben Shapiro like became a transgender woman.
It's like Ben Shapiro with a wig.
Yeah, it's weird. I looked at her and I was like, is that his sister? And then I went and looked the sister up and I was like, that's not his sister.
Nope.
And then I saw the name Brett Cooper. I'm like, is somebody doing an AI bit character on Ben Shapiro? Then I saw it was a YouTube channel. I was like, oh, this is a real person.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, that's a separate thing we'll get into. Funny. But I look at that. I look at the situation. I'm like, yeah, man, it happens everywhere. People don't like contracts. People have things that are less desirable as far as the ask goes from a company they're trying to get signed by. So it's a business, man.
And the thing is, and that's always like the same slogan, you know, it's business. And from what Crowder seems to be more upset about is not so much just like this contract is not good, but almost like this, the contract makes it seem as if the people that sign contracts like this are just at the whims of big tech and just towing the line. And I can see what he's saying and I somewhat agree, but also at the same time, I get why sometimes those contracts that involve big tech like YouTube to not exactly toe the line, but at least kind of tiptoe on what you say on there, because it's like their main front line of trying to get out there and get in front of people that may not even think twice to go over to the Daily Wire. You know, you got to pay to go on the Daily Wire. Daily Wire isn't also a massive platform like YouTube is. So they got to make sure that they express themselves, but not go too far and get demonetized or get booted off of YouTube because they have wrong think or something like that, or say something that's not okay. So it's just one of those things where he's calling out like, oh, you guys are just towing the line and you're also making people tow the line because these contracts penalize you for whatever big tech does to you guys or whatever they think is not okay to say. So it's very, very interesting looking at it from that perspective, but I can understand both.
You mentioned big tech. I don't know if they would be classified as big tech. I mean, it's when I think big tech as a person in the tech sector, I'm thinking of the Googles, Amazons, Facebook, although YouTube
is owned by Google.
Is owned by Google. So, but what I'm saying is, let me rephrase that. Are you referring to big tech as in the distribution of content from Daily Wire to YouTube and Rumble and other sources?
Well, the thing is, YouTube is just a powerhouse. It's almost like, it's not exactly a monopoly, but it's more like YouTube right now does not have any competition.
Right, right. Obviously. I mean, they are the biggest
Rumble's
thing.
Not even considered a competitor. You know, they aren't a direct competitor. YouTube kind of doesn't have a direct competitor.
The only competitors they had at one point was Vimeo, and Vimeo was a blip. It still exists, but I think Vimeo is now behind a paywall. And then there's Twitch, but Twitch seems to be more of the space for long form live stream and gaming versus short form, long form, any form of video content.
Yeah. And even then, Twitch is still not even like considered a direct competitor to YouTube.
No, they're not touching them. No. They really aren't.
So that's kind of what it is. Cause I would say what I see from people that I follow or watch and everything like that, you got to be kind of somewhat safe on YouTube and what you say, and they want to continue to be on YouTube because that's where the people are.
Right.
And it's kind of like the Twitter thing, you know, like there are a multitude of other platforms that are just like Twitter, and they can operate however they want on these other platforms and everything like that. But Twitter has its own set of rules, and you got to play by those rules. And the reason why people, even before Elon bought Twitter, people would have to kind of tiptoe and be careful about what they say because they don't want to get booted off. And then people are like, well, why do you even support that platform? They don't stand for what you believe in and such, but they express the reason why is because that's where the people are.
Yeah.
The only way that I'm going to get people over to my platform is to be where the people are. You can't just silo yourself and be like, well, I'm independent. I'm going to have my own thing. Come to my website. And you'd be like, good luck doing that without the main platforms. So I get that from this, from what the contents of this, this offer letter is to Crowder, even though they don't agree on it, but it's one of those things where the Daily Wire still has to make YouTube a priority right now. And they're telling the people that work for them, you need to be careful on YouTube. If not, then you will get penalized because if you get taken off the platform or if you get a strike or something like that, that not only affects you, but it affects the business as a whole.
Yeah. And that's kind of, okay. So that kind of gives me more clarification now as to the, why you were mentioning big tech. So to complete my thought, you know, no one's immune from this. Everybody has to be careful. I mean, Crowder, whether he's with Daily Wire or whoever, I was going to say Daily Planet as a joke. Shout out to Metropolis.
Yeah.
But no, no matter who you're with, you're going to have to be careful. Brand messaging is important. That is my biggest takeaway. At the end of the day, they're a business. You know, we talk about it behind the scenes here at Chasm. I mean, even though we're super small, I mean, you guys aren't my employees. There are no contracts, you know, you're doing this, you know, because it's fun and you like doing it. But when we hit before we hit the record button or the first day we decided to hit the record button, you know, there was a very clear, like, hey, let's be careful because we know how things work. We work 9 to 5s.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get fired. That doesn't mean that we're cowards. It's that we have to think about other people besides ourselves. You know, if I lose my job, it's catastrophic for my family, as it is for you. You know, so if you really want to know how we feel about something, talk to us in person offline. You're going to get a general gist on the mic, but depending on how controversial it is, you may never know. That's just, we don't have the luxury of that. And that also shows that no matter how large a company like Daily Wire is, they are still dependent on these other, you can call them gatekeepers if you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
These other platforms to bring eyeballs over to the actual Daily Wire. It's very important to them.
Yeah. So it's just a really interesting situation that's going on, and it's still unfolding right now, you know? So don't know. My thing was, when I first started seeing what was going on, was I wish that they would actually just team up, but I guess they just can't really come to an agreement on things. But I'm just like, just put them behind the paywall. Be like, dude, if you want to see Crowder now, you gotta pay Daily Wire or something DW like that. Plus. You know, it's just they already have that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they already have that, and it's just like, just put it behind the paywall. You know, I mean, then I guess the money wouldn't be the same since it's not from YouTube. But I mean, if you just did it behind the paywall from Daily Wire, and then you put out 30-minute clips or something like that, like they do with Rogan on right. YouTube, you make sure that it's safe enough for YouTube terms and everything like that, and be like, hey, you know, his show is like an hour and a half long. You know, you want to see this. If you want to see the whole episode, you got to go on Daily Wire Plus or whatever, you know? So, yeah.
Speaking of YouTube, and this isn't on our docket, just kind of a bloop light bulb. Have you heard about some of the controversy with YouTube as far as monetization goes over profanity?
I've seen that there's something new on that, but I don't know much about it.
So, and we don't have anything on YouTube yet. Wink, wink. But people are getting demonetized because they changed the rules. I believe it's within the first 15 seconds of a YouTube video. If there's a curse word, bloop.
Interesting.
Demonetized. So for those of you who played Borderlands 3, the guy that is the voice of Flack, I forgot his name. He's an Asian American gentleman.
He has a very, very cool voice.
Like, I'm doing it no justice. His mm-hmm. voice is actually super cool. He was the Beastmaster on Borderlands 3. They didn't add much processing to his voice. That's how cool his voice is.
Wow, like Vincent Price or something.
Oh, dude, it's sick. So anyway, he does this video and he waits 18 seconds and then he starts dropping F-bombs.
Wow.
And another YouTube channel that I enjoy, I've been listening to these guys since they were spill.com based out of Austin. We follow them on Instagram, Double Toasted. They do a lot of movie reviews and TV show reviews, video games. They talk about stuff in culture too. A lot of reactions to things. But anyway, they have a lot of profanity on their stuff. They would bleep it out. So apparently, even if you bleep it, demonetized in that first 15 seconds. So they've been scaling back, trying to like totally remove it, and like not even do it and say, okay, this is the clip that's going to go up on YouTube. But the most egregious thing about all of this, because you could say, well, that's their platform. They can do whatever they want. Cool. They didn't tell anybody that the rules were changing.
That happens so much though.
That's foul.
I'm not saying that that is
justified. Oh, yeah. Oh, I ain't barking at you. I'm just saying. That's foul.
But they do it all the time.
Now, here's some even more gangsta mess, because we're a kid-friendly show. I wanted to say something else. Not only from that point when they made the change in the policy would you get demonetized. Bro, they go back to your old videos. So imagine if you've got hundreds of videos, and then within the first 15 seconds, you're like, man, F that. That's some bull spit.
Yeah. I mean, what about music? Is music exempt?
I don't know.
You got the real version up on there. I mean, like, what do you think it's going to be like?
Well,
is Cardi B not going to be able to make any music?
Well, the difference with music, though, I mean, come on now. music is in the pockets of larger people than, you know, Double Toasted and these other YouTubers. Now you're going up against Columbia and Bertelsmann Group and Sony and all those
cats. I think that makes it even more of a problem.
Oh, I'm not saying I disagree with you, but they have a lot more pockets. It's the same reason. You know what? I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I mean, I just think that makes it even more of a problem. Be like, okay, if you're going to enforce the rules, you got to enforce them equally among everybody. Everybody should be held to the same standard. You don't go outside and drive your car and have some people that can drive 75 miles an hour in a 60, and then everybody else has to drive 60. I mean, that if they want to enforce this rule on independent YouTubers or whomever, and then they don't do it to rap songs or something like that blurt out all that stuff within the first 15 seconds, mm-hmm. then sounds like some stupid stuff to me. I mean, I'm not saying that this rule is okay. I'm just saying I see more of a problem with it if it's not applied equally.
I smell what you're cooking, Rock.
Yeah. it's very weird.
I do, man. I totally do. It's like, so you're not a sports guy, but one of my favorite dudes on TV was a former football player, Shannon Sharp. For those of y'all who listen to him, here's the thing, Skip. I had to dial into the voice in my head. Come on now, Skip. Y'all know that voice. So there was a basketball game between the Lakers and the Grizzlies last night. And Shannon Sharp, former NFL player, multiple Super Bowl champion, dude's in his mid to early to mid 50s, and he's bigger than you and I combined. Still, looks like a brick poop house. I mean, my man is huge. He says to Dylan Brooks of the Memphis Grizzlies, "You're too small to guard LeBron." Most people are, even if they're taller than them. They're too small to guard LeBron. Mm-hmm. The dude is 6'8", 265, and he's probably a little bit less than that now, but he's still ripped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so Dylan Brooks took exception to it, started chirping to him on the court. Then Ja Morant, who's the Grizzlies superstar, got chirpy. And then Steven Adams, a.k.a. Aquaman. I'll show you a picture and you'll go, oh, yeah, that dude is Aquaman. He looks like Jason Momoa, bro.
Oh, wow.
He's a New Zealand cat. Yeah, big dude. So he jumps in there. And then Ja Morant's dad, T. Morant, who looks like Usher.
Okay.
They all start barking at him. Security gets involved. So I bring this up because if it was you and I, regardless of what we said, let me back up. Dylan Brooks took exception, said F you to Shannon. Mm-hmm. Shannon said, well, F you too. Then that's when it got heated. Okay, now going full circle. If you and I were to do that, we'd be gone.
Yeah.
Scream F you at a ball player, we'd be gone. Now, I was reading the comments on the Bleacher Report app, and people are going, oh, cry about it. Internet trolls. I'm like, man, get out of your mom's basement, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but my thing is to your point, which you said earlier about applying the rules across the board, I don't think Shannon Sharp should have been kicked out for it, obviously. But if you're being consistent, fans probably would have been booted out for that altercation. Yeah. Because we're nobodies.
I have those kinds of conversations with people all the time with just being in the real world, and they constantly want to defend people that are celebrities or ball players like they're something otherworldly. And I'm like, dude, those people are people too. And also on top of that, you think that whatever enforcement it is going to treat you the same way. And then they just like, have to think about it, because it's just like, man, stop treating these people like they're something like they're gods or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, stop.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they put on their pants if they wear pants the same way you do.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about this Vice debate. I know you didn't watch it. I kind of showed you some clips. So this Vice debate came out a few weeks ago. I want to say 3 weeks to be exact.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. Yeah, 3 weeks ago. Now, they shut off their comments. I'll get to that in a minute. They had them on. They had them on. So they had a panel. They had a panel talking about feminism. I enjoy these Vice debates because I like to listen to people with differing viewpoints have a discussion. And when they are respectful and listening and having actual discourse, like straight up discourse, hey, this is how I feel about this. Here's the reason why. Here are these facts, stats, numbers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And people go, okay, I see your point. I vehemently disagree with you, or I agree with you, and then go from that point forward. I love that because I've seen it happen. Man, this jank went off the rails. Our mutual friend Skeksy in our Discord, I'd sent it to him and a few other people in our friend group on a group chat. And I was like, oh, I love these. These are great. Blah, blah, blah. You got to check this out, brother. It's awesome. No, sorry, I got a little Alex Jonesy on me.
Alex, where are you? Where have you been?
I'm in an undisclosed location, Joe Rogan. I've been hanging out in my bunker. Sitting in a bunker. There's a war for my mind, man. I'm trying to tell you. Those frogs still doing nasty things that I don't appreciate. Oh, so anyway, I send it to these guys. And Skeksy's like, I don't like this. They're just arguing. And I told him this in the voice message. He laughed. I was like, man, he's being sensitive. Cause you know, he's a pretty chill guy. He doesn't like controversy like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, he's just being sensitive. Whatever, dude. It's conversation. No, man. I watched it. And it's like, let's say you start on a topic. Well, I believe, blah, blah, blah. You're wrong. 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 One chick. Her name was something Ali. I forgot her first name, but she at one point just started laughing maniacally. And I was like, okay, that's a bit extra.
It's
it was disrespectful.
It's not about, the thing is though, it doesn't even seem like it's about being disrespectful. It's almost like a reaction of nervousness to make sure that you don't hear the things that could possibly get in the way of your current worldview.
Yeah.
And I say this all the time, because like sometimes you can't get your point across or talk to somebody, you know, and it's not because they aren't sitting right here in front of you, but it's almost like, you know, if you told your kid to clean their room and they don't want to hear it, and then you're just like, I need you to clean, la, la, la. They put their fingers in their ears, yeah, and they just do the la, 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 la thing, and they can't hear you. And if they can't hear you, then they can't do it.
Yeah.
Or they won't do it. And that's kind of what I think of. I didn't see the clip, but I totally understand what you're saying. Like,
yeah.
And that's one of the things that makes debates really, really tough, because you can only debate if you hear the other side. What are you going to debate about?
Not just hearing, but listening to what they're telling you, taking that information in. You know, no one's trying to find a common ground. So let me just give you the lay of the land here. You had that lady, and I apologize again. I know her last name is Ali. She's Middle Eastern of some kind. There was a conservative African-American lady. I think she's African-American. Look like Cardi B a little bit, like a poor man's Cardi B. Or poor woman's Cardi B. Her name is Layla Gray. She's a conservative lady. They had a sister on there from Texas. I forgot her name. There was a lady, a Caucasian lady who was, I don't think she was born. I don't know if she was born with no legs, but she had no legs.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the wheelchair. Behind her was Sydney Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of her before this. Apparently she's an Australian American conservative YouTuber. Never heard of her. The lady next to her was a very, very nice trans lady, she got me. That sounds bad to say. I thought that was a woman. I just thought it was a woman with a bit of a deeper voice. And then next to her was a Latina, black woman. Her name escapes me. And then next to her was Pearl, Pearl Davis. I only know her because I've seen YouTube clips pop up on my channel. She had that show, Just Pearly Things. And then Eli Ehrlich, next to her was another transgender lady. That was the whole panel. So they talked about things from transgenderism in sports. They talked about abortion. They talked about just general feminism. And in post, because before I get to that, at one point, Sydney Watson, she just got straight frustrated. She's like, I'm not even a believer in feminism. She's like, I just came here to hear other people's points and hear you talk about it, you know, and this is not productive at all. Like, she was done. She was straight up done with it. And to that degree, I don't blame her, because if you'd watched the previous feminism panel they had, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, that one went entirely differently. It was great. I learned a lot from that, you know, and I've watched other ones where they had the LGBTQ plus community, liberal versus conservative, black liberals versus conservatives, Latino liberals versus conservatives. Yeah. You know, like I've watched all those because it gives me different viewpoints, and I enjoy that. Now, say what you will about Vice, and I'm getting to a point here. From what I understand, they've gotten a bit more progressive, like progressive left in their content from everybody I know that frequents them. Like, I'll watch a video every once in a while from them, but more like the documentary. I think it's Dark Side of the Ring or something like that, that I would watch. I think that's them that does that.
Maybe. I would say I totally understand what you're saying. I don't like or dislike Vice. I would say that when it comes down to their documentaries, you can tell that they skew more progressive left. And it's not that it's a bad thing. Like, I've watched their documentaries where they go and talk to preppers or they talk to whatever.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, it's a good documentary, but you can tell that their views are skewing in a certain direction. It's definitely not highlighting the people that they're talking about, like if you're talking about preppers or some militia group or something like that. It's definitely not making them look like the absolute most horrendous thing, but it's not putting them in like the best light.
And the reason why I bring that up is because apparently the comments were on at one point. The comments got shut off. And according to, because I watched the video by Sydney Watson after, because I didn't know who she was. I got the gist that she was conservative. It doesn't bother me. Like, I mean, it's like, and for those of you who don't know me, I don't really want to talk politics per se or where I lean on things, but I tend to say I'm a bit more neutral. It just depends. I'm a more topic by topic guy. I don't say I'm a conservative. I don't say I'm a liberal. It's just like, ask me like what the situation is or the topic, you know, the issue, and then we'll go from there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I try to be open minded and listen to everybody, because that's just how you gain better knowledge of the world around you, in my opinion. So I watched Sydney Watson's video first, and she's the one that she sent some screen prints of that. And apparently the support was overwhelmingly in favor of Sydney and Pearl, the two. I don't know if Pearl considers herself conservative or not, but I guess compared to the rest of the group, maybe more conservative, with the exception of Layla Gray. But anyway, that's kind of how it went. And I found that to be disappointing, unless there was straight up harassment. And I don't want to accuse Vice of saying, oh, this goes against our narrative, that's why we shut it down. There might have been some nasty things in there, but I know how you feel about that. You know, just leave it out there and let the people see what it is. Right. That's
yeah.
And I honestly, when it comes to something like this, I tend to agree with you. If you got an outlier nasty comment, pull that comment in that thread if it's that bad.
Yeah.
But keep everything else out there, because I think this is how Vice can grow and learn that, okay, well, we got people of all walks, you know, commenting on our video. This is great. The more eyes, the merrier. So I watched her, and then I watched, Khadijah Mbo. And she's a African-Canadian, African-Canadian. Her channel, I watched her channel, you know, every so often. She's got some pretty good content up there.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought up a couple of things that I thought were important. In this video, they bring up feminism. Not once do they pop up Merriam-Webster, Oxford. Here's what feminism is. There was a lot of, as Pearl Davis pointed out, intersectionality, meaning that you're bringing other things into the feminism, like subgroups almost, or subgenres. It's like, well, as a Black feminist, as a Latina, as a person with disabilities. And that's not to say that those viewpoints don't matter, because they do. At first, when I heard her say that, I was like, yeah, because she said she and Pearl Davis is a redheaded white woman, like near 6 feet tall, plays semi-pro, I think, basketball and volleyball. And so one of the rebuttals from the lady in the wheelchair was like, well, you have white woman pretty privilege, and so these things don't matter to you. And I think Khadijah even said it like, well, yeah, you're already coming from the perspective of, hey, I'm white, so this doesn't matter. I can just talk straight about, well, let's talk strictly about feminism, male versus female, not this other stuff. And then after kind of processing and thinking about it, and I'm like, well, while I get what Pearl was saying, I don't know that that is entirely fair. And the reason why I say that is because their worldview is informed by those other things as well that make up who they are. So I get where I kind of can see both sides of that viewpoint, right? Where it's like, well, yeah, I only want to talk about strictly just the things that the barriers and all these other things as a woman for us, we're all regardless of our race and religion. And
can you show me a picture of Pearl? Which one is Pearl?
Oh yeah. Yeah. She was the redheaded chick that was talking about this one right here with the purple sweater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get what you're saying on that. I haven't watched this whole video
I just watched it yesterday.
Yeah. But, it's, I'm not really sure exactly how to explain it, but when it just becomes like, if you're in this bracket of these things of feminism, but this also transcends to other categories of things, because you're Black or because you're Hispanic or what else there is, you know, that's right out there, right, that it's just like, well, because I'm in this group that all these things also have the same effects as me, but you don't know exactly what, say, Pearl might go through, you know? I mean, there's a person that could be Black that lived in Beverly Hills all their life, and then there's some person that's white that lived in trailer trash or something like that, been abused and everything like that. So it's just like, it's important to actually listen to the person and listen to their experience, because we are all individuals here. And no matter what culture or whatever that you come from, you still have your own story. And it's not supposed to be some kind of pity party where everybody throws out their biggest hardships and be like, hey man, if you've had a privileged life, then you've had a privileged life.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that just because this person is this or that means that they've had a bad life or anything like that. So I think that it kind of discounts everybody. Cause I know some people that have had some really, really hard times, and they're white people. I've known people that have had a really, really great, privileged life, and they are Black.
And there are people that are white that have had great lives, and people that are Black that have horrible lives, as we know.
Exactly.
So, you know, covering the spectrum. And to what you're saying is, just because, I would say, just because somebody is privileged doesn't mean they don't have struggles either.
Exactly.
And just because you are underprivileged or don't have any privileges at all, that doesn't mean that you don't have good experiences. But the larger thing I would like to do for just a moment, I mentioned the word intersectionality. And according to Merriam-Webster, intersectionality is the complex cumulative way in which the effects of multiple forms of discrimination, such as racism, sexism, and classism, combine, overlap, or intersect, the root word, especially in the experiences of marginalized individuals or groups. So I think that was a good thing to define. And see, Vice, it's not hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think to, again, to what Khadijah said on her review. She wasn't part of the group. She was an outsider looking in, but she nailed it. Give us these definitions. Give us stats. Give us numbers. You could put that in the subtext, you know, like, or where the captions would appear, right? Mm-hmm. You could put that on the bottom of the screen or have a little YouTube bubble pop up and say, hey, click here to watch something on this or whatever the case may be. But they didn't do that. And apparently that conversation, man, was like 2 to 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
And they whittled it down to 45 minutes. And according to a couple of those folks, you know, some things were captured and cut out of context. Like some of the chops didn't line up. She goes, you can actually hear it in the way that I'm breathing. She's like, that's not what I said in response to this. That was Sydney in particular who said
that's
that.
Sad.
So, but this is entertainment.
It's entertainment, but I'm sorry. I just don't care. I don't care.
Oh, absolutely. I feel you. Khadijah was saying that Vice dropped the ball because they had a chance to really follow up on the last feminism video and inform people, but they chose the entertainment route versus the informative route. And that's just, you know, poor. And I agree with that because that I can honestly say I learned nothing from that or very little. And that was the worst one. That was the worst debate.
Gets more people more infuriated.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all they did. They chose violence, like quite almost literally. Yeah. They chose violence, as the kids say.
Good job, Vice.
Yeah, man. That was terrible. Cause I came in there, I was ready. I was like, oh man, okay, this is going to be good. Like this, they've got some good numbers here, but nope. Negative, yeah. Man. And yeah. So I mentioned her earlier, Brett Cooper, and I don't want to, I hope I didn't come off disrespectful to the trans people. That was not my angle. I saw a still of her when I was looking up this debate, and I saw a still of her, and I literally thought somebody had made a meme of Ben Shapiro as a transgender person. And that's not me trying to be funny, but I know she's not. She's a woman, conservative, right? She's on Daily Wire.
Yeah.
You know, as they say, a cis woman. But yeah, I didn't watch her video, but that's what brought her onto my radar even at all is when I saw the little thumbnail of her and I was like, who the heck is that?
Yeah. It struck me so hard when I first saw her that I actually did I Googled and I was just like, is Brett Cooper like somehow related to Ben Shapiro? And like, I guess I'm not the only person that's ever asked that question. Cause they were like, no,
dude, she looks more like his sister than his sister does.
Yeah. It's so crazy. I was like, man, she could have been Ben Shapiro's twin that was in a test tube.
Straight up. I'm glad you said that, man. That made me feel better. Cause I was like, yo, who is that? So it was a good show, man. For jumping into 2023, man. But this has been cool. You got anything else on your mind?
I don't know. I think that's about it.
This outro is a little bit different. This is Mr. Free's single, Three Kings. You can find it anywhere you listen to music. Is that correct, sir?
Yep. It's on everything.
So shout out to you, man. Track's dope. I enjoy it. Shout out to your producer, Reed. He did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him next time on those vocals, I want to feel it, buddy. I want you to...
we'll do something spicy.
No, man. No, I'm giving you a hard time. Freed knows how I am about vocals. I love that. I think he's got a good voice. So I wanted him to come out and Barry White me.
Yeah.
But no, man. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at E Can Talk. You can find Mr. Free at... I was going to let you do yourself.
Oh.
On Instagram.
You can find me on Instagram at Daniel_Free. And on Chasm, it's Common Sense Media on Instagram.
And where can they find you as an artist?
It's under Daniel Ryan Freeman.
Everywhere?
Yeah.
Okay. With that, y'all... We want to say thank you once again. Happy New Year. And until then, next time, do your research.
All right. majesty, for he fulfills the prophecy. He will wear a different crown and split the veil and shake.